fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I have an important broadcast coming up here today. And I'm going to lay out all the important information as succinctly as possible in the next segment. And I'm going to be joined by my guest, Ben Manth, who is the veteran special co-host for today. It is the last Friday of the month, the last Friday of April. Hard to believe. Time is flying. But that's where we're at today. Now, I've got a big emergency to get into on the other side of this break, folks. And that's why the title today is Emergency Broadcast, InfoWars Under Attack. And I know that feels redundant, but there's a lot of things that happen behind the scenes here that put us in a position to play defense that we can't even broadcast out to the world. But I'm going to get all into that in the next segment. First, here is the video from me at City Council yesterday. The Austin City Council, my favorite city council. Thank you so much, Mayor Adler, for sticking around to hear me today. It's so nice that the mayor always sticks around to hear from the citizens during citizens communication. Well, as I hope you guys are all aware, there is some legislative momentum happening right now to stop the taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood abortions. But I'm going to highlight here this anyway for you. Senate Bill 22 would prohibit Texas cities and counties from contracting with abortion providers. This passed the Senate Committee on State Affairs by a vote of 7-0. And will now be sent to Senate to be passed before the end of the legislative session in May. We do expect that to pass, and there are certain things in place right now that would violate that. You also have the new regulations on Title X grants require financial and physical separation between entities that provide family planning and entities involved in the delivery of abortion services. And while this is getting a little bit litigious and nitpicky here, this is what we have to do because of all the loopholes found when we do pass legislation to stop taxpayer funding of abortions. So I was just curious, with this new legislative momentum, has this city council or the mayor who has decided to leave us, have you guys discussed at all the current $1 a rent for Planned Parenthood in Austin and the potential violations of that? Have you guys discussed that?
During citizen communication, we're just hearing from you, so please go ahead.
Okay, so you're not going to answer if you have discussed this or not. Do you guys, I mean, it's simple, yes or no. I mean, do you guys want to pay for abortions? Do you want to pay Planned Parenthood's rent? Mr. Renteria, come on, we're good friends. Come on, yes or no? Do you want to pay Planned Parenthood's rent? Simple yes or no. You guys, you can shake a hand, shake a head, yes or no? Would you guys want to pay my rent? Just curious. Would anybody like to pay my rent? Yes or no? What? You? You said something? Oh, no. What was that? You over here? No. So I'm glad that you guys really take citizens' communication seriously here. You clearly do. Mr. Rentry always has a good laugh. He likes to toast to me when I come up here. This is a man I caught illegally campaigning. Mayor Adler always seems to leave. I appreciate those that do stick around and hear from me, but you can't even answer a simple yes or no question. I come here all the time. People come up here bringing all kinds of different issues. You pretty much just ignored the last speaker. So, you know, I'm just wondering why we even have this when you guys don't even listen to us. But it's fine. I'm going to keep coming here and making a big deal out of this, and you're going to start to see protests on the street, and maybe then you'll listen to us. But until then, I'm just going to keep coming here and keep putting it out there for millions of people to see how this mayor doesn't listen to his citizens and how this city council laughs and jokes and thinks it's a big joke when I represent hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Texans that want to stop paying for murder, for baby murder. So thank you guys once again for exhibiting your total futility and negligence. Would you guys like to say something? Anybody? Great. I'll continue to fight for the unborn.
And you guys will continue to join them.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. The mayor of Austin, Texas is so scared of me, he can't even face me. He has to leave city council every time I speak now. And they are also brain dead. They can't even answer a yes or no question. But don't worry, you'll hear from me again. blessed. It's InfoWars.com. Woo! You can tune in at InfoWars.com/show. Woo! This is The War Room, hosted by Owen Schroyer. Woo! 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 All right, ladies and gentlemen. It's the last Friday of April, the 26th, here in the year 2019, and so you know what that means. It is the Veterans Call-In Special. That's right. So we open up the phone lines for the entire broadcast for veterans. We will take other callers if you want to get in, but we will always put veterans at the front of the line. We just ask, if you will, when you call in as a veteran, just are you a veteran of are you the Army, the Navy, the Marines, what have you, so that we can give them a shout-out. And we'll move you to the front of the line, and we love hearing from the veterans. 888-201-2244. 888-201-2244. Again, it's the Veterans Call-In Special, the last Friday of every month. That number is 888-201-2244. And we can cover a wide range of issues today, but I think what we're really looking at is the cold civil war that's been happening with Donald Trump as the beachhead, but really just any last bastions of America and freedom in the West with Trump as the beachhead versus the globalist deep state New World Order. And you're starting to see signs. Trump is signaling this. You're starting to see signs with the establishment signaling this. And I think one symbol of this is Biden running. Biden has no reason to run. He's too old. His politics have no momentum, and he's already lost multiple times before. So the fact that they're running Biden means that that's like the highest level of corruption. That's the globalists. That's the New World Order. Biden's their candidate. And if the Democrats that are involved actually want to win, there is zero chance Biden comes out. Zero chance. So this is where they're at from the Democrat wing of the New World Order to try to destroy America. But there's all kinds of other different wings out there, like the Federal Reserve, which tried to destroy the Trump economy. Trump's been talking about that. You have the big tech with all the censorship that they're engaged in. And it's getting worse. Now, here's the thing. Today's headline is emergency InfoWars free speech under attack. And there's a part of us here that is reluctant to go with headlines like this because it feels redundant. But we are constantly under attack. And most of the censorship you can see with the social media bans, the YouTube bans, and everything that we deal with there, the attacks we're under, the lies about us, the lawfare that we have to fight every day. So some of it is... some of it is visible for the regular audience to see. But a lot of what goes on here, we never talk about, we never broadcast. And part of that is because we don't want to give our enemies a victory. We don't want to talk about victories that they've had. And then, as you could understand, I mean, we are in an info war with these people. We are in a culture war. We are at war with anti-American domestic occupiers. And so a lot of times we just don't want them to know, obviously, our game plan, you know, our battle plan. So we don't broadcast that. But let's just say that we've been running some operations here behind the scenes that the audience is not aware of, and some other projects that we've been working on. And we've pretty much had the rug pulled out from under us on a couple of these deals. And there's something else going on behind the scenes right now that we're trying to get figured out that is also causing us a bit of a handicap. And in fact, if you really pay attention, you may even be able to kind of hone in on what I'm talking about. But let's just say we're under unprecedented attack right now. It's gone next level here. And so... And it seems like what happens is every time Alex announces a big expansion, there's a new wave that comes and tries to squash that expansion before it can even get off the ground. So, unfortunately, I cannot get into the details of what's going on behind the scenes right now, folks. But let's just say we need your help. And we just had a massive special last month that lasted for a long time, more than a month, where it was like 50% off half our store, up to 60, 70% off some things. And it went well, and you supported us, but it didn't go above and beyond. It went what the watermark was for Alex to say, okay, I'm launching the next expansion. And so we were looking at that really beginning to get rolled out next week as far as the building of the foundation and getting ready to erect the big new building, essentially, for the analogy. Well, they pretty much ripped the rug out from that, and now we have to put out about 10 other fires, which takes manpower and financing. And so we're looking at a situation now where I don't know when we're going to be able to expand again. But here's the kit. Here's the kicker, and this is the catch, and this is why it's almost a parody of InfoWars here. We only go as far as you, the audience, take us. And it's never been more apparent than it is right now. We're scratching and clawing to expand. We're fighting tooth and nail to expand, and we're getting hit on the back end, and it's handicapping these abilities. But here's the deal. If everybody that listened to the millions of people that tuned into InfoWars today, between the David Knight Show, the Alex Jones Show, and the War Room, if every single person just went to InfoWarsStore.com, bought a t-shirt, and signed up for auto ship for toothpaste and shampoo, something everybody uses, we could defeat our enemies tomorrow. Now, this isn't to say, oh my gosh, the audience has let us down. No, it's the exact opposite. The audience is why we're here. The audience props us up. The audience is our lifeblood. But at the same time, we live and die by the audience. So we can only go as far as you want. Now, again, just having some brief conversations with Alex today, I can just tell you that the next plan for expansion has hit a major setback. And so we've got to put out a bunch of fires around here, and obviously it takes manpower and money. Now, we're not complaining. We've got the war chest to exist and continue as we are, but they want us stagnated. That's their goal. We want to launch new shows. We're bigger now than most cable news. I mean, that's just a fact. And so we want to continue that projection. We want to continue that climb. So all I'm saying here today, folks, is if you really want to see InfoWars get to the next level and it become a point where they can't ignore us anymore. See, they still want to act like they can ignore us because of the censorship and, oh, like, you're not with the big guys on cable TV. So that's kind of their justification for ignoring us. But we want to get so big that they can't ignore us or discount us anymore. But they keep lighting fires all around us here that we have to put out. And because of that, we struggle to expand. But again, if everybody that listened to InfoWars today, the David Knight Show, the Alex Jones Show, and the War Room, went to InfoWarsStore.com, signed up for auto ship to get toothpaste and shampoo, household items. Not asking you to buy supplements you don't want. I'm not asking you to buy a t-shirt that you don't want to wear. You brush your teeth with toothpaste. You'll wash your hair with shampoo. Just go to InfoWarsStore.com. Sign up for auto ship. You'll get 10% off every order with this. Sign up for auto ship. You get your toothpaste and your shampoo from InfoWarsStore.com. We need your support now more than ever. InfoWars.com War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. It's the last Friday of April, so that means it's the Veterans Call-In Special. We've got open lines for veterans to call in right now. 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244. Veterans, go to the front of the line. But we will take other calls as well. 888-201-2244. My guest, Ben Monte, is my co-host for today. And I was reading about Ben before the show and about the wrestling league. He started Frontline Wrestling, helping fellow veterans that are wrestling with PTSD. We'll get into that in a minute. But, you know, an incredible story, really, Ben, is your story and what got you here. Now, it's almost impossible to believe if you told someone you got hit with a sniper round in the head, they probably don't think you'd still be with us, but yet here you are on the War Room with us today. So an incredible story for the audience. If they want to check it out, there was a story on CBS 58, Sunday Morning Spotlight, Bulletproof Ben McCoy. Of course, that is your ring name. I'm imagining you got that ring name from the fact that based on the physical evidence, you are bulletproof, Ben.
Yeah, maybe more bullet absorbent, but yeah, bulletproof sounds a lot better. So
that's good. Bullet absorbent. In fact, we've got the X-ray right here. It's really incredible. But I don't want to spend the whole time talking about that, Ben. I mean, I'm sure you've talked ad nauseum about that, and it's a very traumatic experience. But you know, the one thing that I read out of your story that I continue to hear and understand more and more, specifically from doing this veteran show, really, is something that I never really fully could understand. But, you know, it seems to me one of the hardest things or one of the toughest things about coming home from war and one of the leading PTSD, I would say, issues is for people that survive. And you wouldn't think that just surviving is something that would bother you so much. You'd think that that'd be a relief, but for a lot of guys, it's not, because, you know, you were the, as they say in the story, you're one of the lucky ones that are able to come back home. And so, you know, how do you even voice that or you know, get that message to Americans that, you know, just because guys make it home doesn't mean that everything's okay?
I think it starts with finding a better way to transition soldiers into civilian life. I think that there's a lot of programs that are out there that simply don't get enough legs underneath them, as far as both monetarily being supported as well as getting enough of a following to them. I think one of the biggest things that helped me was a place called the Wolf Sack, which was in San Antonio, Texas, which was independently ran, but was on the Brooke Army Medical Base. And it's basically a transitional home that helps veterans that have been combat wounded to transition back into civilian life, whether it's taking a trade class or it's helping you with your bills or finances, or it's helping you, basically setting you up for success when you get out of the military, which is something that, you know, especially for soldiers that don't get wounded, is even harder, because it's literally you fill out your paperwork, you wait your amount of time that you're supposed to wait, they send you to a couple of classes, they say, and you're done and you're out. And there's no easement into the transition. And it's so hard for you to go from one way of thinking and one way of making a living to all of the sudden having to turn off that switch, which is almost impossible, especially for anybody who's ever experienced combat. And then coming back home and just trying to be normal again. It sounds so easy. I can remember being in Afghanistan with my fellow soldiers and thinking about how easy it was going to be to go home and start over and have a normal life and do normal things. And it's absolutely the opposite. It's hard, especially when you go to a place where there's no safety net. You know, being in Afghanistan, there's no safety net, and everybody there doesn't want you there. You know, some people do, but the majority of them don't. And you have to adapt your lifestyle to that, which is extremely hard. So to live on that type of a high level of awareness to all of a sudden trying to turn that off and go back to being a civilian is really hard, and we just need to do better.
And what was the name?
Just as a country, to do better for the veterans as far as.
But what was the name? What was the name of that house that you were talking about?
It's called the Wolf Sack. It's a Warrior Family and Support Center in Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio, Texas.
Because I was going to say, because it really is like a wolf pack mentality. I mean, it's like, you know, when the wolf pack is out in the wilderness in the wild, they stay close together. Someone's always on watch. It's a survival thing. You know, you're being hunted type of thing. And so to change that mindset, you know, to go off and on and, you know, be relaxed with your family or whatever, I could see how kind of that transition being with other veterans that, you know, maybe just got back from overseas too, that are kind of still in that mindset, trying to get adjusted to regular life. They can kind of slowly leave that wolf pack mindset, you know, and then when they're comfortable with that, they can say, okay, are there other houses like this? I've actually never heard of this program before.
Sadly, no, there's not. If it was up to me, we should have them in every single state in the continental United States. It's one of those things where they give you tools to not only help in your progress of healing, but also give you tools to set you up for financial responsibilities, taking care of, you know, your doctor appointments and your VA appointments, your medical appointments for mental health and everything like that. And it also gives you a support staff. So if you're tight or if you're hurting for money, or if it's something where, you know, you transition back and you can't find a job for 3 or 4 months, they help you with your bills. I mean, they're not sitting there to take care of you forever, but they help with that transition until you can get yourself get your feet underneath yourself and start over. And in my opinion, if we had them in every single state, I guarantee you that the suicide veteran rate would not be around the 20s.
That is exactly what was going through my head. I bet you could stop veteran suicide. I mean, not stop it entirely, but I mean, at least get it going in the right direction. This is definitely something that needs more highlighted. So let's talk about this later on. In fact, I also want to talk about the wrestling league that you started, Frontline Wrestling. And I want to talk about, because in the story here, you know, it says that you kind of wanted to be a wrestler, but it never really took off. And so you joined the military. But now that you've come back, Frontline Wrestling, it's almost as if you're now starting to realize a glimpse of that dream now that you're back domestic.
Absolutely. When I first started wrestling, I wrestled from 2005 to 2010. And I had marginal success. I don't want to say I was a household name or anything like that, but I had done a few things and made a couple of advancements in my career, but it wasn't anything worth staying for. It also became a point where I was just really worn down. I was tired of being tired, and I wanted to do something with my life that mattered. My father was in the United States Navy and was in Vietnam, and my grandfather was in World War II. With the Army Air Force before the Air Force split off to its own branch. And so it was always something that I kind of thought about doing, but I wanted to make sure that if I did it, I earned that uniform. And the only way for me to do that was to go into the United States Infantry with the 10th Mountain Division, which I'm very, very proud of.
Well, let's talk more about this, and we can talk about Frontline Wrestling. And we've also got a couple of veterans on the line ready to go here. So it's the Veterans Call-In Special, last Friday of the month. The lines are open, 888-201-2244. Ben Monty is my co-host. We'll be right back.
Donald J. Trump is president of the United States.
Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that might trigger liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
It's the Veterans Call-In Special, and we've got a couple of veterans lined up here. We're going to go to them shortly. Ben Monty is my co-host. There's an amazing story covering him, CBS58.com, Sunday Morning Spotlight, Bulletproof Ben McCoy. That's his ring name because he took a bullet to the head, and as he says, he just absorbed it. And now he has started Frontline Wrestling for other veterans that are wrestling with PTSD. And it's actually pretty cool stuff. We've been rolling some of that B-roll here while we're live, and very entertaining stuff. They definitely get into it. There is bloodshed, even. They say wrestling's fake, but it's obviously not, because Frontline Wrestling has these big boys out there flying around and bloodied and beaten. So Ben is with us. We've also got a couple callers, but Ben, just talk about, before we go to the phone lines, you can call in at 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244. Ben, talk about how you came up with this idea when you got back to start Frontline Wrestling to help other veterans dealing with PTSD, and talk about the success rate. Has this been good for the other veterans? Ben Monty.
Well, yeah, Frontline Pro started basically based off a conversation I had with my wife. It was one of those things where I had just lost my 13th guy to suicide. I've lost a total of 14 of my brothers to suicide since 2014. And it was one of those things where I had spoke at my high school in November for Veterans Day. And 3 days later, I had lost my 14th guy. And I sat down with my wife and I just said, I'm done talking. I don't want to talk anymore. I want to do something. I want to take action. I want to make this work. I want to make change in any way that I can. And we came up with wrestling being the best avenue we have with all the contacts we have in the business of professional wrestling from my previous stint, as well as when I made my comeback in 2016. There were so many people that were on board with us to help us out to really make it successful. So I was very lucky to have that. And so the first show we did was for a friend of mine named Brady Oberg, who I served with in Afghanistan and took his life a few years back in August. And it was one of those things where his family came up with the Brady Oberg Legacy Foundation. They're out of Minnesota, and they help train and educate veterans to become counselors and to become group therapists for fellow veterans. Because sometimes it's easier for a veteran to open up to another one instead of talking to somebody that isn't. It's no offense to the civilian community in any way, shape, or form. I think it's just an easier way to convey your feelings to somebody who's been there and been through it. So we started off with that show. And last year, we were really proud to raise over $8,000 in charitable donations and just five events. And we're looking to do much more this year. We've already done three events and we've raised over $5,000 this year. So we're excited to continue that progress to keep helping. So.
Well, I'll tell you, we like to pepper in all kinds of culture here on the War Room. We just kind of spice it up a little bit, and we have a little bit of wrestling pepper that we pipe in here. So I got to say, I'm actually enjoying, if we could just roll the B-roll. I mean, you can tell, I mean, you know, these guys, though, Ben, when they see you in the ring, you know, they have to be a little intimidated to know that if a bullet couldn't take you out, I mean, they must not have a chance.
Well, that's the basis behind the bulletproof Ben McCoy character is someone who's tougher than nails and can take on any challenge.
Well, let's see some of that B-roll. Give me bulletproof Ben on the B-roll. Go ahead.
Oh, there's some Afghanistan stuff. Oh, there we go.
That's nice. The cheap shot right there.
Yeah.
Everybody loves a good cheap shot.
Yeah, my son always tells me that I need to find cooler moves. The old DDT works for me, so.
Yeah, that was a nice one right there. I don't know, maybe your son needs to, maybe your son's been watching the classic wrestling, and so he's hoping, you know, he wants you to go back and pull some Ric Flairs out, you know?
Oh, man, it's already getting crazy. He just turned 16, and he just started training to become a wrestler himself at 16 years old, so it's a very much a family affair. My wife is a ring announcer for us. There's my son training right there, as a matter of fact.
Look at that.
Yeah, doing training camps. So he's in there and he referees now. And my wife is a ring announcer and helps run all the front office stuff. And we,
well, and it looks, based on what I've seen. I mean, it looks like you guys are doing it right. I mean, is this something that looks like it's got the right momentum to continue on for a while here, Ben?
Absolutely. I've always said that I'll stop doing frontline when I die. It's because as I'm kind of the black sheep of professional wrestling in a way where I don't want to make as much money as I can. I want to help as many people as I can. I know that sounds kind of corny to a lot of, I don't like getting political too much, but there's a lot of liberal people who will sit there and be like, oh, of course you'd say that because it's kind of a hypersensitive issue to be very patriotic. But I want to give back to especially the veteran community every single chance I get because I wouldn't have the life that I have without being a veteran. So.
Well, and again, I just think it's amazing how it all came full circle for you when you came back, the wrestling, the helping veterans, you know, and just trying to find a life for yourself as well. It all came together with Frontline Wrestling. So we'll talk about this. And again, we've got open lines right now. We got a couple veterans called up. We'll get to your calls in the next segment, I promise. But we have open lines, 888-201-2244. Again, it's the Veterans Call-In Special. So you're from Wisconsin, but if people wanted to go see Frontline Wrestling, is that something that's local or does it travel? Or how could they find more information?
Well, they can go to our Facebook page, which is Frontline Pro, and then it'll kind of let you know where we're going. We actually just expanded to our second state this year. We're running in Wisconsin as well as Illinois now, and we're looking to expand even farther. The goal is to get as far out as we can to reach as many places as we can. We just made a partnership with a company in Japan, in Okinawa, called Ruku Dragon Pro, where we do a talent exchange with them. That worked out very nicely for us last year, and we're planning on doing that again this year with them. And the people represent Frontline, and they put it through their papers and their publications for us to help spread the word there. We also are in conversations with a great company up in Toronto called Superkicked to do stuff with them. And then we're very lucky that there's a lot of Wisconsin places that are awesome. There's a place that I'm at right now called Mondo Lucha, who's a wonderful company that incorporates various forms of entertainment with professional wrestling. And they've always had our back, especially when we started up, and we were able to partner with them on Mondo Lucha versus Frontline Pro stuff. And we're really excited because we had a lot of great partners. There's a lot of people supporting us. The veteran community has been awesome. And we're just really excited to grow and expand as much as we can. Last year we did 5 events. This year we're doing 12. So we're going in the right direction.
Now, if you want to be a Frontline Pro wrestler, do you have to have a background in the military?
No, you don't. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'll always have spots for veterans on my show, being one myself, obviously, and having friends that are also veterans. We actually just had Ken Anderson from WWE fame and TNA fame. And he actually just came in and worked for us in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, on April 6th. He's actually a former veteran himself from the Marines. So he was able to come in and work with us and did a wonderful job. So, we love the best talent. I like to put on the best talent with the best wrestlers that can tell the best stories.
So you're kind of building this, but you're kind of building this and you're a veteran and you want to, use veterans to help build it. But what you want to do is you want to build a brand that's successful on its own that you can use to help veterans.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The better the product, the more chance we have to help the most amount of veterans possible. And as well as nonprofit organizations. And that's the goal. There's nothing more important to me than that. We want to make sure that that's what really shines through. And if we bring in the best talent that's available, we're going to have better shows, which are going to have better attendances, which are going to have more of a raised amount for whoever we're working for on that particular event.
Frontline Wrestling, ladies and gentlemen, and we're with Bulletproof Ben McCoy right now, who started Frontline Wrestling, and it's only expanding. So when we come back, though, we're going to take your phone calls here on the Veterans Call-In Special, 888-201-2244. The veteran callers are coming up next. There's so much insanity happening out there today, and we're going to get to some of the news. I just can't believe what these people are doing. In fact, I got to send you another video here, Savannah, and we'll play this video of these climate protesters later on in the show. You're not going to believe these climate protesters now. The Extinction Rebellion in Europe, you are not going to believe what these people have done next. You thought gluing themselves to trains was extreme? Wait till you hear what they've done next. So I'm looking forward to that with my co-host Ben Monty today, who started Frontline Wrestling, helping Army veterans who are wrestling with PTSD, and it's moving in the right direction. So we'll get into that with Ben. I bet I can make him laugh at some of the content that I have coming up. So hopefully that'll be fun. But before we do that, Ben, we've got veterans on the line here. Let's start with Kevin, former Marine, calling in. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, Owen, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to address a few days back, I think you were covering for Alex, you were talking about the U.S. soldiers being detained at the border by Mexican troops, right?
Well, yes.
I went online and found articles from Stars and Stripes and Newsweek. I think it was Newsweek that was claiming that they got a hold of the actual incident reports. Here's what's really interesting. I think you touched on this as a theory. The soldiers that were detained do not recall seeing any kind of designation, they didn't mark the vehicle they were driving in any way. All that they remember seeing on their uniforms was the Mexican flag. They didn't see any name tapes, any rank insignia, no unit patches, nothing. So, like you were saying that same day, how do we know these were really Mexican troops?
Well, and then you saw the president come out the next day and basically insinuate the same thing. Whether they were troops or not, they were running cover for the Mexican cartels. And you know, Kevin, look, because you're obviously smart enough, you went out and did your own research for yourself. But it's like, no offense to anybody else out there in news, but I think we know the big networks I'm talking about. They couldn't even comprehend coverage like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that type of thought would never even enter their mind. They're so out of touch with reality. What happened with me was, as you heard, I was just ticked off. I was just enraged that this happened to our troops on the border, this total disrespect. And so I just started going down the natural thought pattern of how the heck this happened, analyze all the other data. We know the cartels are running the Mexican government. I mean, 2 + 2 = 4. Duh, this was a cartel operation. I mean, it's really not that hard to figure out. And then, yeah, they run all the logistics and they analyze it. And then even the president says, yeah, they're distracting for people running gun or people running drugs. But, you know, Kevin, we know this is going on. Everybody knows this is going on. Why won't people protect the southern border? Why won't, I mean, what's your theory? I mean, seriously, why do you think the Democrats want a wide open border, Kevin?
Why they want a wide open border is, like Alex was saying about 12 years ago, an endgame. They are globalists. They don't believe in a border in the first place, Owen. And about the Mexican cartel thing, I also did even more research because I'm actually originally from Arizona. So I kind of try to keep up to date with what's going on the border down there because I'm from there. And someone correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the south of your guys' Texas border is actually the stomping ground of the Los Zetas cartel. And that cartel was founded in the late 90s by Mexican army deserters. So, again, your theory is not outside the realm of possibility. You might be dead on.
Well, Kevin, there's a reason why we're Tomorrow's News Today, and there's a reason why the most informed people out there and veterans and Marines like yourself tune into InfoWars. And look, you know, I was actually, it was probably the greatest compliment I ever got yesterday. It was from Darren McBreen. He was talking to my father, and he was like, you know, I'm really impressed that Owen has been humble working at InfoWars. And to me, it was just like, I can't not be humble. Like, what we're doing right now is humbling. Like, having these unbelievable victories, like David versus Goliath, is humbling. Having Marines call in and say, hey, wow, great coverage. Based on my research, you were right. I mean, it's all humbling. I don't think I'm bigger than anyone. We're all in this together. I'm just like Ben Monty here. I'm not in this to get rich or famous. Believe me, I'll go live out on the farm the rest of my life, and I'll be just fine. I want to win. I want victory. And I think that's what we all want here. Ben, what are your thoughts?
This is the first time I've ever heard of this story, to be honest with you. To be fair, I was on vacation the last 2 weeks, but it's the first time I've heard about it. It's not surprising to me that something like this has happened. I can remember a lot of security details in Afghanistan where similar things had happened. As far as people trying to disarm U.S. troops at checkpoints, as well as TCP areas along the Route Ohio and Route Georgia down in the western part of Afghanistan by the Pakistani border, and it's sad that it's happened at the Mexican border. It's one of those things where I think obviously a full investigation has to be launched into this to figure out what exactly happened, why it happened. And definitely how it can be corrected. I do agree that, and it doesn't matter to me if it's the southern border or the northern border or anything like that, I think you need to have a form of border security that is efficient and effective. And if you don't have that, it's going.
Well, I'm glad that you said that because I've got a story right here. Pentagon expected to send about 300 more troops to border. And I'm sitting here like, 300? How about 300,000? I mean, that is a joke. 300 can be overrun. Kevin, you're from that area. I mean, do you think 300 troops is enough?
That doesn't even top. That, are you kidding me? 300? If it's going to be 300, it better be mounted artillery or something because we are being overrun. I mean, there is a city sandwiched between Phoenix and Tempe, where ASU is, that is completely overrun by the Mexican mafia called Guadalupe. Are you kidding me?
See, this is the type of response you would expect from a red-blooded human that has a beating heart and a spirit and a soul and any semblance of self-preservation. I mean, Ben, you just basically made a fair comparison to the southern border and what you experienced in Afghanistan.
Yeah. No, we always had to have extra type of security and extra measures, as well as standard operating procedures of how to handle working at TCP area, which is a transit checkpoint area, especially because blitzkrieg type attacks on those checkpoint areas, where a car full of guys will come up, you go to check their vehicle, they all get out at once, try to overrun the two troops that are stationed at that one stopping point. So the extra security that we had was Overwatch security with snipers, as well as mortarmen and things like that, as well as having backup people that would be on the outskirts of the checkpoint area to be able to radio ahead if anything looked suspicious or looked as though it was going to be an issue.
Well, and we have to sit here and listen to morons like Cortez say we have 12 years left to live on this planet. Okay, well, I won't even get into the stupidity of that. But realistically, I mean, I don't know. I mean, 12 years, 4 years? How many years can we put up with a wide-open border in this invasion force? Kevin, final comment here before we take a break.
Well, final comment is it's gotten so bad that I remember hearing from a local militia group I tried to join after I left. I was still living in Arizona. You have Lake Pleasant, which is just northwest of Phoenix. You have campers and everyone being shot at by coyotes. And I remember in high school, hiking around there with my JROTC group, finding rape trees, I found out from another buddy of mine that's in Border Patrol. They do not even scrape the surface in mainstream how bad it is now.
Well, and it's just incredible. I mean, we've got all this footage, people coming across with rucksacks, semi-automatic rifles and everything. I mean, it's just like, you guys say you want gun control, but you don't want gun control at the border. You want disease control, but you don't want disease control at the border. It's unbelievable. Kevin, former Marine, thank you so much. Great call today. I mean, Ben, it's just like, it's blatant treason to not just allow this invasion, but to even encourage it.
It's one of those things where I think that the border gets such a hot button topic to itself, attached to itself, because it has to do with President Trump. I think the people who are against President Trump use that as their crutch, as their, well, you know, you can like Trump for this, that, or whatever he does, but he's wrong on the border, so the border's evil. And it's very, I'm not super political, but it seems very narrow-minded on that end. On the other end, you know, I think that there is a more efficient way to do border security than what we're doing now. I think that every single chance we get, we need to improve it as much as possible, both for the protection of the United States citizens, but also for the protection of people trying to come over.
Well, yeah, if there's anything that's anti-immigrant, it's illegal immigration. I mean, if there's anything that's anti-immigration, it's having a wide open border. We'll be right back.
The fight for the future is now. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
You know, there's a, I don't know how to say this, but let's just say it's the old cliche where, sometimes having a memory can be a burden. And going with your instincts, having strong instincts, for me, my photographic memory, and I put like 99.9% trust in it, it can be a burden because you see things and your gut instincts are just like, woo, 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 like sound the alarm. And you don't know something for sure, but like the universe is telling you what to do. And the difference is we at InfoWars have the courage to go with the universe that's telling us what to do. It's like, you know, what Kanye West said. So I want you to see this video that Bernie Sanders just tweeted out of a caller that called into C-SPAN. And I just want to know what comes to your mind first. So Bernie puts this video out, says, see,
Trump supporters are already changing their minds and are Bernie supporters. Just look at this call on C-SPAN.
Yes, hi, thanks for taking my call. Let me say this. For the last election, I trusted Trump. I thought he was going to throw a monkey wrench into the elite establishment and make America great again. I'm just a regular guy. I'm in sales, and I thought that the whole economy would change across the spectrum. Well, here we are 4 years later, and I got to say, he lied. I'm no better off. My friends who are regular workers are no better off. The Midwest, no better off. And so this year, if I don't have someone to challenge him on our side, I'm voting for Bernie. I'm voting for Bernie because he makes the most sense. By the way, I'm paying $387 for a bottle of diabetic medicine. So there are a lot of issues I like with Bernie, and it just makes more sense. Thanks.
So is health care a top issue?
Absolutely. I think health care is a top issue for what we call human beings, because without our health, we're dead. Yeah. You see, so health has to be the top issue for everyone, regardless of party. There have been six consecutive presidents that have favored the rich companies, and I'm what you call an old-fashioned Republican. That's why I voted for Trump, because he promised the Midwest is going to regain what it once had. Ask anyone in the Midwest. Ask people in the middle of the country. Are they better off? The answer is hell no. And Bernie Sanders is the only person running that's for actual people.
Now, I've done full three-hour broadcasts where I just open up the phone lines to people, you know, truckers, salespeople, what have you, say, hey, how has your life been impacted since Trump? Miners, workers, they're all like, oh my gosh, it's not even close. The freight industry is booming. The coal industry's back. Manufacturing's back. Steel is back. But let me just tell you, because here's the thing. I trust a $500 million bill more than I trust that phone call. That is the fakest phone call. That is the biggest setup I think I've ever seen in the history of C-SPAN. And I've seen some setups on C-SPAN. Trust me, the Democrats do this regularly. But let me tell you something, Bernie. If you think for 1 second that your little fake staged caller into C-SPAN is going to fool anyone, you got another thing coming. Do you know what happened when Bernie showed up in Texas? He got his white ass booed. We said, get out of here, honky. Anyway, I don't know. Let's get Ben Monty's opinion on this, who told me he's not too political. He landed on the wrong live broadcast here. Ben, I think that is about as phony as a $3 bill, but what do you think?
Well, I have proof that says otherwise. My property, I own my own house in Kenosha, Wisconsin, which is in the Midwest. My property when I originally got it was at about $245,000, and just checking it online a couple of days ago, it's at $316,000. Trump also brought Foxconn to Mount Pleasant, which is just down the road from me, which is supposedly going to increase my property by about another 15% to 20%. So I'm not really sure where this guy is coming from or what he considers.
But wait, no, he said he was talking about the Midwest. You're up in Wisconsin. That doesn't count. That doesn't count, Ben. No, Ben. No. Ben needs to look at a map. No.
Ago, when I saw one of our favorite liberal dumbasses who just wrote a new story about how Trump supporters are racists. And so, you know, it's like, I don't even know who these people are writing about. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't know who these people are. They claim they're racist, whatever. Maybe they are. Maybe they aren't. But see, these people have called everybody a racist. They've called everybody a racist. They call black people white supremacists. I mean, so they've gone full mental. They've gone full retard here. And it's sad because, you know, they chose to be this way. But I'm sitting here and I'm thinking like, okay, because I'm reading the story and I'm like, you know, I don't know who these guys are. I'm not denying there's racists out there. Maybe these guys are racist. So again, it's one of these leftist publications that calls everyone under the sun a racist. So I'm sitting here and I'm like, but, you know, my first response, of course, is, of course, these people aren't racists. Wow. All these, I won't even give them, I'm not even going to say their names anymore. But you know who we're talking about. They write stories all day long about how Trump supporters are racist. Everybody's a racist. And so I see this new one. Somebody sends me like, hey, look at this. They're calling these people racist again. And I'm like, well, of course they're not racist. But then I realize like, well, wait a second now. Because I don't know these people they're writing about. I've never met them. I've never heard of them. Maybe they are racist. You know, like, I don't know. I mean, maybe there's real racists out there. Maybe they're, but you realize it's the boy that cried wolf. So my instinct now, any Democrat, any liberal, any leftist that comes out and says anybody's a racist, I immediately discount it because they call me a freaking racist. They call black people white supremacists. I mean, these people are totally nuts. And so I'm sitting here and I'm like, you know, I don't even know if they've realized what they've done now. Whenever you guys put out a story about people being racist, you know that everybody discounts it now because you've pretty much called everyone a racist. And guess what? Not everyone's a racist. And so I'm sitting here, I'm like, they don't even realize that they've done harm to the fight they claim to be fighting, which is exposing racists and racism. You guys have ruined it. All of your fake racist claims have actually given camouflage and cover to actual racists. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, do they even realize that this is what they're doing? And then it hit me. And I had my revelation in one moment. And again, I already knew this, but it just re-cemented itself. They are the racists. That's why they're calling everybody racist. They're providing cover for themselves. So, look, you guys can keep calling everyone under the sun a racist, but realize what you've done. If you're actually ever covering a real racist, no one's going to listen to you. Just like nobody listened to the boy that cried wolf. But what we're starting to figure out is that you are the racists. You are. But I digress. My guest is Ben Monty, and he started Frontline Wrestling. He's a veteran. He's bulletproof. Ben, he literally got shot in the face and lived. Looks pretty good, too. So he's going to be continuing on with us here for a minute. That is when his head's not being smashed with a chair on wrestling night, and he's bleeding out of his face. But that's all part of Frontline Pro Wrestling. Before we get back to Ben, and we've got some other callers here, lines are open, 888-201-2244. I got to remind folks about some specials we have going right now. A couple specials. We've got the, now there've been some confusion here because we have the Total Cuck Cleanse right now at InfoWarsStore.com. It's 50% off the combo package of Super Male Vitality and Alpha Power. And there's been a little confusion because of the Total Cuck Cleanse here. If you're not a total cuck, it can still work for you. So it's not just for total cucks out there that you know, say right for Right Wing Watch or what have you. Yeah, it'll work for the total cucks too. But if you're just like a 1% cuck and you just want to get rid of that tiny little inch kabibble cuck inside of you, the Total Cuck Cleanse will work for you as well. It's 50% off Super Male Vitality and Alpha Power combo, two game-changing formulas. And in a 50% off combo, the Total Cuck Cleanse right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We've also got the, we should call it like the morning and night combo, because I know I'm not alone in this. In fact, I would imagine most Americans suffer from morning grogginess, the struggle to get out of bed in the morning and get after it, and then also with falling asleep at night, the restlessness, you know, all the TV and lights that stop our bodies from producing melatonin. So this is like the Brain Force Plus knockout combo is like the morning-night combo. I deal with brain fog in the morning, and, you know, it takes me my brain, I'm slow in the morning, really. I got to do something to get me going, like a shower, a steaming hot shower, or piping cold, or Brain Force. Knock out the morning fog with Brain Force, and it's just like, boom, you get right into your mid-afternoon momentum. And then at the night when you're restless or you can't sleep, you're not feeling sleepy, but you're tired, boom, you hit the knockout, which is the amazing formula for sleep aid. So this is really a great morning-night combo. So if you struggle with the morning fog and you struggle with restlessness and sleeplessness at night, the InfoWars Life Brain Force Plus knockout combo is 25% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And of course, folks, it's your support at InfoWarsStore.com that makes everything possible. Now, it is the last Friday of the month here, and that means it's our Veterans Call-In Special. My veteran co-host is Ben Monty, Bulletproof Ben McCoy, for Frontline Wrestling, and he is the founder of that, helping veterans wrestling with PTSD, and it is on the rise. So he's been a great guest. But we have a another couple veterans on the line here that I want to get to. So let's go over to Robert, Army veteran, who's calling in from Austin, Texas. Go ahead, Robert. Robert.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. All right. Hey, on the border. When does Trump just take the shackles off? Does that make sense?
I mean, I would have done it a year or two ago.
Because I even though troops get deployed, I bet you could do a volunteer, just get all the active duty grunts out there and say, who wants to do this deployment? And I bet you have a 98.5%, I raise my hand, and guys would be fighting to get on that deployment.
Well, and here's my thing too, Robert, and I know that this is probably impossible with all the logistics and other stuff that's going on. It's a complex issue, but I would begin the move right now, and I would say, okay, we've got X amount of troops overseas at hundreds of bases. We're going to go ahead and cut that number. I mean, you could do in half. You could do down to 10%, and we're going to put them all at the southern border. Because you know what? Afghanistan getting raided, you know what? Not our national interest. Iraq, whatever, not our national interest. We got an invasion on our own southern border that we got to stop. It's time to focus on that. I would have done it years ago, but yeah, Robert, it's reaching a breaking point now.
Yeah, at least a row. Just say they got a gun, they're coming over. Don't shoot the women and children. You get my point. Unleash the row to where these guys know they're not going to get in trouble and have to face a military tribunal or anything to that. You get my point there? And just say, do
well,
it.
I mean, honestly, like, this is not what I want. I'm not saying this is what I want. I'm saying, like, you got to do something. It's almost like you, I mean, again, I'm not trying to sound extreme. We're just wargaming this out. It's almost like you have to declare war against Mexico. Just to have a reason to say, we got to put a million troops at the border. It's not that we're going to invade Mexico. We want to destroy Mexico. We just want to stop the invasion coming in from Mexico.
Take 10 miles of it. Put them there. And then, I mean, I bet your warriors would be happy. Unless they clean that all out. People, the innocent people there would be happy about it.
I mean, Ben, Ben, do you agree with Robert that people in the service would volunteer to take up that duty?
I definitely think that there would be people that would. I think with anything, everybody has a stance and an opinion on it. Obviously, just because you wear a uniform doesn't exempt you from having a stance on a political issue, such as the southern border. And I think that, yeah, there would definitely be people that would volunteer for that assignment, that would want to do that assignment. And I think that, you know, if you pick the best of, in my opinion, if you were to do that, you would have to do it by picking some of the best of the best to really have the most efficiency as possible. I think you can't just put anybody in there.
Yeah, great call, Robert. Great call from Robert in Austin, Texas. All right, we take a short break here. In the break, Ben's beard is going to be doing 20-pound curls, so he needs to get a quick break. His beard is looking for a workout. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the InfoWars.com War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. It's the Veterans Call-In Special. My co-host is Ben Monty, known as Bulletproof Ben McCoy in Frontline Wrestling. That's because he was literally shot in the face, as he said, absorbed the bullet, and is still with us here today, or still here, as you might say. Now, still here is actually the name of a documentary, Ben, that you are featured in that we're going to talk about here. So what is Still Here all about?
Still Here is a documentary that I'm a part of with a bunch of veterans and people in the wrestling community and in the veteran community that is going to be raising awareness for PTSD and suicide awareness for veterans. Eric Beach is the director. He's actually a fellow veteran and actually attempted to take his own life. After he returned from war, and failed, thank God. I told him the first time I met him when he told me about it that I was never so happy to hear somebody fail at something in my life. And he got into the movie business, I guess you could call it, and has a lot of good friends. Tim Abel, the actor out in California, who's done stuff with Mel Gibson and did stuff with Steven Seagal and people like that, movies, is one of our executive producers. He's also a fellow veteran. And then we're very lucky to have Rob Van Dam, the former WWE wrestler and ECW original, as our other executive producer in this film. And we've gotten a lot of help from a lot of people throughout this, through our Indiegogo campaigns, as well as our veteran community stepping up and helping us with just locations and filming and putting everything together. It's basically raising awareness through my story, talking about what happened to me, talking about my recovery. I've always said that getting shot was the easiest part of my journey. Everything after was the hard part. I had 17 major reconstructions on my face to get me back to where I am now. I've had 6 seizures. I wound up getting an addiction to my pain meds because my VA at the time thought that the best way to help me was to over-medicate me and give me access to more than enough pain medication than what I needed, which almost destroyed me. And then a lot of it was because of my guilt. When you survive getting shot, you think you'd be eternally grateful, but there's this little dark part in you that's always going to feel guilty because you failed your mission. You didn't complete the mission with your brothers. You didn't complete what you set out to do. And then on top of that, you survive, and then all your brothers start dying and taking their own lives. And 14 guys later, you sit there and think to yourself, why am I still here? Like, what did I do that was so special? Because I'll say that to anybody that the men that took their own lives that served with me are some of the best men I've ever met in my life, men that I consider better men than me, and men that I was proud to serve with, proud to call my brother, and proud to say that I would have died for them happily. And this film is going to shed light on that and show the effects of PTSD, show the effects of suicide, not just what happens when you commit suicide, but what it does to families, what it does to the people around you, what it does to the people that loved and cared about you. And especially in the veteran community where it's such a prevalent issue, it's something that we have to shed light on because it's got to stop. And we can't rely on anybody else to do it. We got to do it ourselves. And so that's what Still Here is all about. And I'm damn proud to be a part of it.
Hey, man, you had that guy on the ropes for at least 4 seconds there. You need to break that. That's getting a little out of control. Hey,
it's
where can I
seconds.
Watch?
It's 5 seconds.
Oh, Frontline Wrestling does 5 seconds. Okay, good. So Bulletproof Ben does follow the rules, at least for now. Hey, where can I watch the Still Here? Where can I watch that movie?
It is actually being filmed right now. We're doing a full documentary of it, a full-length feature film. We started filming. We did kind of our beta testing last year in October and in December, and we got a really good reaction. Our first video, actually, the preview trailer, the bit trailer, we call it, wound up getting over 10,000 views on Facebook, and it got really well received and kind of opened up a lot of doors for us. So now we're filming until the end of this year. November, I believe, is the last month we're filming. We also hooked up with F5 Soundhouse out of Minneapolis, and they're going to be doing an original score as well as an original soundtrack for it. So we're really excited to be working with them. And it's going to be a long process, and I'm really excited to be a part of it, though. But our goal is to have everything ready to go by 2020 on August 25th, which just happens to be my Alive Day. And I'm sure a lot of veterans know what I'm talking about. For those who are watching that don't know what an Alive Day is, my Alive Day is the day that I was shot in the face, and it's the day of your coming through your injury. So.
Well, no, I'm actually glad that you explained that. I would not have known what the Alive Day was. That's an interesting little nugget there for people to learn here today. And I just think it's amazing because I just saw you had a crowdfunding there. If you guys, I don't know if you guys pulled that up or if that was part of the B-roll. Yeah, there it is right there. Still Here, feature-length documentary. I mean, Ben, you guys only had a $2,500 donation here to reach your goal. You've already surpassed that, but I mean, man, you really are working low budget, man. I mean, you're not in this for money at all, are you?
It's all for covering our costs. I mean, this is our second one. We did another one earlier that did $2,100. But it's all just covering costs. It's covering shoulder rigs. It's covering cameras. It's covering, editing equipment and lighting and you know, sound pods and things like that. We're not looking to make a single cent off of it because that's not what it's about. You know, it's the same thing. Frontline and Still Here are very similar in the fact that I don't pay myself. I don't believe in that. The money that Frontline makes, we keep in and reinvest into Frontline Pro to make it a better product. With Still Here, the money we receive to make the film goes directly into the film because that's what it's all about. It's about the end product. It's about helping people, and I'm not looking to get rich off of anything like that. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to make sure that nobody has to feel what I felt when a veteran takes their life, because I've felt it 14 times, and I can tell you right now that it never gets better. It's never easier. It never numbs. It's always just as bad and feels just as terrible. And I don't want anybody to ever feel that.
Yeah, we'd much rather feel them taking a metal chair across their head from Bulletproof Ben. It probably feels better. But, you know, you mentioned, yeah, you mentioned you guys did a talent exchange with the Japanese Wrestling League. You mentioned some big endorsements such as Rob Van Dam, formerly of ECW, WWE fame. I mean, even recently, probably like 5 years ago, I think he was at WrestleMania. Have you guys had any other big endorsements or anybody else working with you guys?
Yeah, we've been really lucky. The veteran, the wrestling community has stepped up. Guys like Kevin Thorne and Ken Anderson have stepped up. Ken Anderson, especially with his academy school and opening up his doors to us for filming and coming and doing frontline shows, which is part of the film as well. It's kind of taking you through a year long journey of frontline and my life and wrestling and everything like that. So they've been awesome with that. And we've had a lot of nonprofit veteran organizations step up and just want to help out in any way they can, whether it's helping us with filming, helping us with location. I had a very nice old lady from a small town in Wisconsin bring us food one day just to feed the film crew. So we'll take anything we can get. But she was awesome, and we greatly appreciate it.
Well, that's awesome. And hey, if you'll take anything you can get, folks, again, the Still Here documentary is going to be coming out soon. Hey, if you guys ever need a guest official, you know, just give me the rules. I'll get in there. You know, I'm not going
to
take any nonsense either. I'm a strict ref. I mean, five count, get off the ropes. It better be no holds barred if you're bringing in a chair.
Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
It's the last Friday of April, so that means it's the Veterans Call-In Show. My co-host is Bulletproof Ben McCoy. That's what he's known as for Frontline Wrestling. Ben Monty is what he was known as when he was shot in the face, literally, when serving overseas, and he survived that and is now known as Bulletproof Ben. Glad that he could be joining us. We got a couple of callers on the line. Let's start with Sam, a Marine calling in from Texas. Go ahead, Sam.
Yes.
Hi, thanks for calling.
The border?
Mm-hmm.
I think the president needs to make Mexico feel the pain by shutting off the money. Use the Trade with the Enemy Act and move every available troop down there and, you know, they have to feel the pain before they stop these people traveling through their country.
So you think that it's a lack of, should we say, I don't know how to say it, punishment, basically. They know that there is no backlash for crossing the border illegally. There's no punishment. In fact, they're rewarded for it. Are you saying that that's what needs to change?
Well, the Mexican government is facilitating all these people coming to the border. If they don't feel the pain, they're going to let it continue.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, believe me, I'm a non-interventionist, and I'm not calling for any intervention. I'm calling for solutions. We have an invasion coming across our southern border from Mexico. I mean, do we have to declare a war on Mexico because they're letting these people invade our country?
Well, they declared war on us, so we make them feel the pain, cut off the money.
No, that's exactly how I feel. I mean, Ben Monty is not one to get political, but we'll ask his opinion on this. I mean, do you think that's too extreme, Ben, to start measuring what we need to do to stop this invasion, this thousands of people from crossing our border illegally every day?
To find a solution to fix the issue that's been the problem for the better part of a decade. But I do not think that going to war with Mexico would solve very much. I don't think that it would make any type of drastic change. I think it's a knee-jerk reaction to just say, well, let's just go to war with somebody. I've been in a war. I know what they're like. And, you know, when I was in Afghanistan, we got Osama bin Laden when I was in Afghanistan. Trust me, I went and did a mission the very next day. Nothing changed.
Well, let me be clear, though.
I just got to go home.
I'm not just saying this is a conventional war. I'm saying just because he declares a national emergency, they say, sorry, no national emergency. He says, we're shutting down the border. They say, no, sorry, you can't do that. I mean, so he's tried everything. I'm not talking about troops going into Mexico. I'm not talking about troops doing anything. I'm just saying, like, what can the president do to actually stop this? I mean, do you agree with Sam, though, that essentially, I mean, again, they're not declaring war on us, but by letting all of these migrants, I mean, there's a new migrant caravan coming right now. I got the story. Migrant caravan on the beast train to avoid Mexican police raids and make it to U.S. border. So they've got all these things in place where they know how to avoid the Mexican government. The Mexican government lets them come here. So, I mean, what do you think we need to do?
Well, first off, I think the government needs to do a better job of working together as teammates. I think that the kind of caveman mentality of Democrat here, Republican there, nobody gives an inch, everybody keeps to their own stick, is getting very old. I think the American public is tired of it. I think it's one of those things where somebody's got to give and start to be a grown-up. I think there's a lot of children in our government that don't want to do the right thing and find a solution. They would rather sit there and get their 15 minutes of fame on CNN or some network and talk about how their way is the only way. I think once that is figured out, I think issues like Mexico become much easier to handle because everybody's on the same page. I think you have to, at some point, I'm not saying that you have to give in to everything that the president wants, but you have to at least hear him out and find a game plan that matches his, that you kind of can come up with your own hybrid of a game plan with, you know, what the president wants. I think the fact that people on the left are so unwilling to even attempt that is sad. At the same time, trying to send every available troop to a border, I think is ridiculous as well. So it's one of those things where people just need to, especially in our government, need to grow up, stop acting like children, start trying to work together. I don't know why they have to have kindergarten classes for these people to know how to do teamwork. But that's what it feels like to me. That's what it's always felt like to me. And I think once people stop pushing their own agendas and start thinking about the American public, situations like this get a lot easier.
And Ben, I think that you've highlighted something that I think that we deal with here. It's like, yeah, I mean, these people behave like such clowns and such children. Sometimes I feel like maybe subconsciously or consciously we go to their level just to try to have victory because we can't have victory fighting it on a mature level. But Sam, you're in Texas. I mean, what do you think we need to do about the open border crisis?
Well, another thing we need to do is go after the employers, cut the jobs off. They'll stop coming.
Yeah, like these ACLU lawyers that get millions and millions of dollars through donations, and then they tell the non-citizens how they can get and skirt the system.
Well, I mean, go after the employers with both feet. You know, if you got illegal on your payroll, your family and cash, put them out of business. Seize all their assets. Find them up to the maximum per day per employee.
Well, I'm just stunned too at the doublethink from the Democrats on this issue. They say there's kids in cages. It's abhorrent. We cannot have this. There's family separation. It's like the worst thing ever when they talk about that. And then you say, okay, well then, you know, let's declare a national emergency at the border. Well, no, you can't do that though. It's like, well, you're the one that just tell me how bad it is. So, I mean, okay. Thanks for the call, Sam. Let's squeeze another call in before we go to break. Let's go to Patrick calling in from Texas. Wants to call in for about the Bernie rally in Texas, I think. Go ahead, Patrick.
Hey, they must not have heard me good, Owen. This is Pastor Sam in Texas. And we did go out and bullhorn Bernie. There's more socialism going on and more police protection in these socialist movements than what I've ever seen. But the real heat of conversation right now seems to be on the border. So I'd like to weigh in on that. You know, the place where we need troops is in Guatemala and Honduras. We've got embattled center-right presidents there. And then the Mexican president took office December the 1st, and he promised those guys the moon. So he's trying to woo them back into the socialist orbit, the Chinese and the UN orbit. And we can just go in. Trump can just call them on the phone and say, hey, we're going to get you your humanitarian aid back. But we're going to come in and administrate that, and we're allies. We're going to bring in some troops. We're just going to help you lock down your borders, make sure there's no funny business. And you know what? It'd be the best thing that ever happened to the Americas if you just put troops in Guatemala and Honduras. And it's not even an invasion. We're all friends. We'll just help them have a little bit of law and order and get the UN off the back of those presidents and get AMLO off of their back. But the fact is, Mexico is going to blow sky high at some point. I've been telling you that for a long time. It's inevitable. Can't be avoided. But, man, the longer we can keep the lid on that, the better off we'll be. We got to stop the bleeding, though.
Well, and again, we have a situation where we take more people into this country than every other country. We give out more humanitarian aid than every other country combined. And still somehow we're the bad guy if we just want to preserve our national interest or even have a border. Again, to me, the lack of basic logic and common sense makes me go to the next level and say there must be something else afoot here. I mean, are we talking about gun runners, drug runners infiltrating the American government? Are people somehow profiting off of this? Do they really just hate America? Do they really not believe in borders fundamentally? Have they smoked enough hashish to just be totally out of it and just say, oh no, there's no such thing as a border? No, it's like having a wall in your house. It's like having a front door locked. It's a protection mechanism. Yeah, there is no physical line on the border. Wow, you stumped us with that. Now can we protect our sovereignty? Infowars.com War Room, brought to you by InfowarsStore.com. It's our veteran special today, our call-in special. We've got some more callers on the line here. We've got open lines for veterans if you want to call in. And I talked about it in the first hour today, and really I need to be doing it every segment, quite frankly. And that's talking about the attack we're under, because it sounds redundant to the audience, and that's why I hesitate to do it, but we are under a new wave. And, I mean, we just want to see an expansion happen here, but every time we get close to the engine turning over, there's something else that happens that keeps us from doing it. But if everybody in the audience just went to InfowarsStore.com today, if everybody that listened to the Alex Jones Show, if everybody that listened to the David Knight Show went to InfowarsStore.com and just got the InfoWars Super Blue toothpaste and the Emmerich's Essentials All Natural Shampoo, if you just got those two household necessities, that's it. Toothpaste and shampoo, that's it. We could fund everything we do here and our expansion if every member of our audience signed up for AutoShip and just got the toothpaste and the shampoo. You have shampoo in your house, you have toothpaste in your house, shop with the good guys. And it's great stuff. I use the shampoo and the toothpaste myself. I mean, I don't think my hair is falling out. I mean, my teeth are still white, so it's good stuff. That's all. Just go to InfoWarsStore.com. Put the shampoo and the toothpaste on AutoShip. You'll get 10% off your order. It'll come right to your front door. You don't even have to go to the store to get it. That's all it would take. It's the craziest thing, actually, to think that shampoo and toothpaste could literally fund InfoWars. That's it. If everyone that listened just bought toothpaste and shampoo from us, it'd be game over as far as the people that try to shut us down. We'd be totally independent. But hey, we're continuing to expand. It's tougher and tougher to market because all the censorship that we endure. But the audience is amazing. You continue to support us. We've got big specials right now as well. But folks, just think about switching your shampoo to Emmerich's Essentials and switching your toothpaste to Super Blue. And that thought in the back of your head of, I hope InfoWars doesn't disappear tomorrow, maybe it'll ease up a little bit with your support. All right, let's go back out to the phone lines with my guest, Ben Monty, Bulletproof Ben for Frontline Wrestling. Let's go to Micah calling in from New York. Go ahead, Micah.
Owen, buddy, what's happening, man? I just had to say something about that C-SPAN interview. Holy crap, that was faker than an Easter bunny.
And here's the thing. Here's what they kind of do with us too, Micah, because look, I'm not trying to lie to anybody. I don't have absolute proof that that's a fake phone call. I just go with my gut. I go with my instinct. 2 + 2 = 5. I mean, come on. That's
right.
It's like, but that's what the thing though, is they want us to be afraid of going with our gut. They want us to be afraid of going with our instinct. And so that's why they use this whole fake news thing, or they try to bully us about Pizzagate and all this crap. And it's just like, no, I know what I can tell when a duck is a duck and a goose is a goose. I'm not going to be bullied out of that.
Exactly. It's all intuition. They don't want us to be in touch with our own intuition. And, you know, I think it's actually kind of interesting. Brian Land, the C-Spine founder, he just retired like 3 or 4 days ago. So maybe they're just going crazy over there.
Oh, my gosh. I did not even know that. How did I miss that? Can I get a news story on that, please?
Yep. Brian Land, last week, I saw it on Drudge a few days ago, and it kind of went under the radar, but I don't know who's running the show over there, but it kind of feels like
okay, Republican callers only, and that's when the caller got through. Even the host was like agreeing with everything the caller said, and it's like, what?
Oh, yeah, no, total setup. Come on, I'm in sales. Like, I'm just a regular guy. Who says that? Nobody says that.
That's sorry. Everyone, people I know in sales, I mean, I don't want to make a blanket statement, but most of them are making more money.
Yeah, that's the odd part. And she just agreed with it and went along with it. But, like, that's the one thing no one can argue is the economy's better. I mean, if that was really his whole thing, and then he said something about being a human beings, and, you know, health should be the most important issue. Well, if you actually care about human beings, then maybe you should look at the abortion policies of Vermont and what Bernie thinks about that, not killing babies. I mean, you know, I'm from New York, and I just did a little man on the street video, and I got a website for him, stopmurderingbabies.com. Go to stopmurderingbabies.com. You can check it out, because I think not everybody wants to kill babies, and it's so crazy, but our politicians, they're just, Micah,
here's where it's at for me, too. It's like, because I want to win this battle, and I mean, I'd love to stop abortion, but it is legal. I just don't want to pay for it. I mean, and so it's just like, we have to fund Planned Parenthood. Well, no, we don't. That's ridiculous. We don't have to fund Planned Parenthood. We get it. Abortion's illegal. Fine. You don't want to have your kid. That's sad to me. That's sad for whatever reason, because of a relationship problem, because of financial problems, because it was a mistake, whatever the deal. That's sad. I don't want to pay for your damn abortion, man.
No, it's absolutely ridiculous. And that was kind of my main thing, is like, you know, I'm not totally disagreeing or telling everyone that is having an abortion that they're evil people. But when I was just talking about the afterbirth abortions and the, you know, the late term abortions and what actually goes on, people were just like, this is a third world country, right? This is what? No, this is New York. This is where you live. And to say that we're going to, you know, use tax dollars that you're paying for that. You are paying for that. You pay taxes. You're paying for that. Come on. I mean, that's
I'm going to continue to fight this, Micah. And there was another story, and thank you so much for the call. There was another story that I had to comment on, and it said how white supremacists and anti-abortion activists have created a bond or whatever. And I'm sitting here, I'm scratching my head. I'm like, most babies in America that are aborted are black. Like, if I was a white supremacist, I would love Planned Parenthood. I mean, Margaret Sanger was an open, avowed racist against black people. She used to do speeches at KKK meetings. I mean, but that's the thing. These people are so uninformed and ignorant, it's almost impossible to reason with them, and it makes you wonder if they aren't literally NPCs. But I don't know if my guest Ben wants to comment on that, but I do know something that I'm sure he could comment on that's more up his alley, that's kind of in the same vein. You know, Ben, there was a lot of talk about the VA system and some struggles and bad stuff that was going on at the VA. A lot of people say it's improving. It's still not perfect. But a lot of people are crediting Trump for the improvement of the VA. Have you personally been hearing this from your veteran buddies? Do you think the VA care is getting better, or have you noticed any difference?
I'll answer that in 2 seconds. I got one really quick thing. First off, the C-SPAN thing was garbage. The guy never even said where he was from, and the lady led him through the entire conversation and kind of gave him all the answers.
Hey, Ben, feel free to go on. I just didn't want to put you in a position. I know you don't like to get political, so.
No, it's just I just found it funny that was like she literally led him through that entire conversation and walked him into. Well, do you mean you're talking about healthcare? Do you mean
this? I didn't even get into that. She like literally like teed it up for him too. Like here it is.
Oh yeah, that was T-ball at its finest as far as journalism goes. So that made me laugh. But then as far as abortion goes and Planned Parenthood, I have 4 kids of my own. I don't particularly believe in abortion. I think there's always extenuating circumstances, you know, as far as rape or something like that, or something ugly that happens. You know, that's a whole nother ball of wax. But at the core of the issue, I don't believe in Planned Parenthood. I don't believe in paying for someone who doesn't want to accept responsibility or take accountability for their actions. And, you know, having sex is, you know, once you do that, if you had the sense in thinking that you were responsible enough to do that, then you have the sense in being responsible for taking care of what comes out of that.
It's actually funny. We can get to the VA in the next segment because we're about to go to a break here. But it's actually funny that you say that, Ben, because I had a realization. I went and bullhorned a Planned Parenthood event a couple weeks ago, and I had a realization that I actually understand where these women are coming from. I'm not saying it's just, but I realized the reason why these women have such a disdain and hatred for men, specifically when it comes to the abortion issue, is because, I mean, I'm not denying it. Yeah, if a man and a woman have sex and a woman gets pregnant, it's the woman that gets pregnant. It's the woman's that body changes and goes through that and has to have the birth. I get that. So I understand how a woman feels like most of the onus or all the onus of a pregnancy is on them. But to hate men because of that and then to justify your abortion because of that hatred, that's what I realized the psychology that goes down in their head is they hate that they have the burden and that any men would dare tell them either way. But, I mean, they chose to have sex too. So really what it is they want a consequence-free environment and they want to allow that approach towards anything to be realistic. Like, oh, you know, yeah, I had sex and got pregnant, but that's not my fault. I should be allowed to kill that kid. Well, no, that's a separate life that you started that you're deciding to end.
The fight for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I told you that I had the next level of peak climate change liberalism, and I've got it right here. Now, I'm not even sure if this video clip has audio to it, but first, before I get into the one that's so next level, you won't even believe me. First, let's go to these Extinction Rebellion climate change protesters that are active right now in Europe. Go ahead and roll clip 21.
So, as some of you may know, there was a protest in Oxford Circus on Waterloo Bridge, Rebellion Extinction. That's basically about food and climate change. And these guys have come into the biggest Waitrose in the UK, in London, and they're all lying on the floor in protest. Got some very young protesters.
This is a nap.
Very young protesters. She looks like she's having fun. Is it comfy down there?
Goons. I would be ridiculing all these people. I'd be like, hi, what's it like to be a total bum? Hi, what's it like to take a nap on the floor of a public building? Hi, what's it like to use a banana sack for a pillow? Hi, what's it like to politicize your child and have them on the floor of a grocery store? I mean, this is so ridiculous.
Ryan Hahn, live reporting from the protest.
Guys, just roll that B-roll real quick. So what you have is a bunch of crazed leftists. This is insane. They all should be in jail. You know what the problem is? The jails are filled up with climate change protesters. They've been doing this crap, gluing themselves to trains, forming human barricades. The video for our radio listeners is just, you got a couple dozen here. It looks like maybe 20, 30, 40 people here lying on the floor. And this is just one video. It could be more. Laying on the floor of a grocery store. They're just laying on the floor all over. You can't walk through. And they're really just taking naps. Some of them have their kids on the floor of a grocery store. Do you know how unhealthy that is? Where people are walking with their shoes and you put your kid on that floor? These people are disgusting. I mean, look at that bum. Let me tell you something. If this happened in my community in Austin, I'd go with a camera and I'd put it in their face and I'd say, why are you such a pathetic bum? Why are you such a bum? If you, I guarantee you every single one of those suckers drove their car to that grocery store. These total frauds. That's what I'm saying. I don't have to guess that they're total frauds. None of them stop driving their cars. None of them stop flying on airplanes. None of them stop eating food. None of them practice what they preach. They're total frauds. Because you know what the truth is? To do what they actually claim humans should be doing, which is basically like Gandhi meditating all day long, that's probably it seems like the simplest life ever. It's probably honestly the toughest life ever. I mean, the patience, the focus. These people couldn't, their little toenail couldn't actually commit to the life they claim everybody should be living. These are the biggest frauds you've ever seen. These are the most pathetic people. So you know what? If you ever see someone like this, get in their face and just let them know how pathetic they are. You're a scourge to humanity. You look at them. Just look at how degrading they are. That's an embarrassment to humanity. Pathetic. Pathetic. They all ought to be arrested. I'd have them all hauled to jail. Get off the damn floor. People are trying to engage in commerce here, you freaks. Bunch of dumbasses, man. A bunch of immature, arrested development dumbasses. But guess what? We have now reached peak eco-warrior. This is a true story. An eco-warrior glued her breasts to the road in one of the most bizarre stunts yet by protesters causing havoc across London. Folks, they're gluing themselves to trains. And now a woman has glued her breasts to the road. Now, I'm getting early reports, and this is unconfirmed, but I'm hearing that Joe Biden is on a plane right now to get this woman's breasts off the road. Joe Biden has volunteered to go down there and get her breasts unglued from the road. What an act of courage from Joe Biden, the serial groper. Okay, so I planned on ending my climate change bit after that segment, but I just found I've just been one-upped by my producer, Savannah. I thought that I had peak eco-warrior when a woman glued her breasts to the street. You were sitting on that for how long? Months she sat on this story to one-up me, and she has been successful. I thought we reached peak eco-warrior when a woman glued her breasts to the road in London. I thought there's no way. I can't even read this with a straight face, man. Stop it. Please stop the madness. From Vice.com. Oh, I'm scared to even read this. Ecosexuals believe having sex with the earth could save it. And folks, if you're a radio listener, they're wearing like a warehouse breathing mask. I guess it has like sprouts infused in it or something. And they're like smashing faces. I mean, what is this? What is this world I'm in? Oh, my God. Oh, I don't even want to know what these people do in their free time. I don't even want to know what an ecosexual does behind closed doors. I mean, my God. Oh, jeez. I'm so sorry, Ben. I wanted to talk about the VA, and then I learned about ecosexuals banging Earth.
Do you think maybe that's where the old saying, I'd rather put my you-know-what in a hole in the ground came from?
Maybe this has been a thing for years.
People just don't know. It's like Fight Club. Nobody talks about it.
I didn't want to go there, but, you know, I'm afraid that that might be what's happening.
That's something. Even I, and I've seen a lot of stuff all over the world. Even I have to admit that's a new one. I guess I thought, you know, being a tree hugger was bad, but this is next level. That's impressive.
Yeah, we went from tree huggers to tree
bangers. I don't have a better word.
Okay.
Yeah, right. What do you say?
And I'm even reading this story. Jennifer Reed, a PhD candidate in sociology at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, is writing a dissertation on ecosexuality and says that the number of people who identify as ecosexuals has increased markedly in the past 2 years.
Because it wasn't a thing 2 years ago? Maybe that's
why? Exactly the point. Because they just made it up. Oh my gosh. I'm just stunned. I'll tell you what. I have the solution. If you're struggling with ecosexuality, you're probably a cuck. So I would go to InfoWarsStore.com and get the Total Cuck Cleanse. Because let me tell you something. If you're out there trying to bang a tree, you know, if you're out there smashing face with sprouts on a mask, I think you got something else wrong with you. And so I'm hoping maybe the Total Cuck Cleanse can help you at InfoWarsStore.com. If you're a female, maybe the Ultimate Female Force from InfoWarsStore.com. We've got Happies. There's also perhaps you could go to a local warehouse and find a ball peen hammer. But that's a different solution. So, folks, seriously, though, you know the attacks we're under. You know the censorship we're enduring. And look, I don't want to be overrun by ecosexuals. So please support us at InfoWarsStore.com. And if you know an ecosexual, you know, maybe give him a bottle of Brain Force from InfoWarsStore.com. Maybe Ultimate Bone Broth. It's 50% off right now from InfoWarsStore.com. Just please help them. Maybe there's a documentary at InfoWarsStore.com or a book. There's all kinds of stuff at InfoWarsStore.com. And maybe you can stop the next ecosexual from raping a tree. I mean, you know, we got to be worried about this. Somebody's got to stand up for those innocent trees that are getting smashed. It looks like they're abusing sprouts in this picture. Just total brutalization of sprouts, just innocent sprouts. And it's just sad. But seriously, folks, your support at InfoWarsStore.com is imperative. I can't get into some of the things we're enduring right now, but your support is very imperative at InfoWarsStore.com today. Alex really wanted me to emphasize that. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com. Again, we could fund everything here with just toothpaste and shampoo. If you went ahead and tried it and put it on auto ship, it'd be huge. All right. Before we go back to the callers here, and we got some callers, I did want to ask, because the VA is something obviously very important for veterans. And it was a big issue heading into the 2016 election for veterans, and there were obviously issues with the VA as well. And I've heard mostly that these things have been at least improving. Obviously, there's still issues, but improving. So I just wanted to get your take, because I always like to hear just kind of to get a month-by-month status and different opinions. What do you think about the current status of the VA? Has it gotten better under Trump? Is it going in the right direction? What do you think, Ben?
Actually, I absolutely believe it's going in the right direction. I think it's gotten miles better than what it was back in 2012 when I first had to encounter it. I think it was a absolute mess back then. It was one of those things where I had my 17 reconstructions on my face, and it took 1,900 days to get all those done, over 5 years, in which I believe in any other medical field wouldn't have taken that long. But I will say that since Trump has been in office, and this is the one thing that I think a lot of people don't want to give him credit for, it's the one thing that I will always give him credit for, is that he has passed more memos and more amendments to the VA as far as helping with funding and helping with outsourcing than any president in recent history has, and far more than Obama ever did when I was in service. So for that, I will say, you can say all you want about Trump, but the one thing is he signed and put through more things to help the veteran community with the VA status than any other president that I know of. So,
and I think the outsourcing thing has been a real key. Specifically, you know, you're going through a situation, say, like you said, it took you 5 years to have all these surgeries. But, you know, with the outsourcing, you can trim that time down, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I actually have buddies that are still getting medical care. You know, guys who've been in IED attacks and things like that have crushed their entire spines and their rib cages. And I mean, you're talking, you know, I have guys that are going on 10 years of recovery now, just because there's so many surgeries and so much procedures that have to be done in order to set them back into even just a livable status.
Oh, so, I was stunned. I saw a story about a guy who had I think he had a leg amputated from an IED. He had over 100 surgeries.
Yeah, yeah. It's war wounds especially are no joke. I mean, there's the one thing that I can tell you is that when I was at Brooke Army Medical Center, I saw more of war than anybody else can possibly imagine, just between burn victims, amputees, people who were shot, people who were, blown up in IEDs, and people who had, you know, drastic injuries that were life-altering and had to relearn how to live their lives. And, you know, the fact that the VA is night and day better than what it was, 5 years ago, just speaks volumes to the administration now and their seriousness. It's the one thing that I'll say that Trump kept his word on, no matter what anybody wants to say about him, is that he kept his word on the veteran status. It's improved. It's gotten better. Response times are better. Outsourcing is making little. The best part about the outsourcing is that you're having guys go for minor things, things that need to be fixed, like a prescription refill, or they re-injured an old injury and just need to have it looked at. They're not eating up space at the VA for the people who truly need, you know, major care and need to see those primary doctors before them. So that's huge.
And, you know, this just to kind of bring this to an issue that I'm fighting right now, and that's government funding of Planned Parenthood. You know, Planned Parenthood's getting $500 million in taxpayer money. How about we just decide to end that and send it to the VA?
Oh, it would be huge. It would absolutely change the landscape of the VA forever. I don't think that there would be any doubt in the mass.
I can't believe I haven't thought of that till now. I can't believe nobody's thought of that till now. Take the $500 million going to Planned Parenthood every year and give it to the VA. I mean, my gosh. All right. We're going to take your calls on the other side of this break. It's the InfoWars.com War Room. Go to InfoWarsStore.com and support us during this break to make sure we're here next week. Welcome back to the InfoWars.com War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. Final segment with my guest. He's been a great joy. Ben Monty, also known as Bulletproof Ben in the Frontline Wrestling League. And it's his final segment with us. We're going to take a couple more phone calls. Let's start with Mary, who has dialed in, former Navy. Mary calls in from Houston, Texas. Go ahead, Mary. Sorry, guys, we got a little confusion here. We're going to Mary on line one. There we go, Mary. Go ahead.
Hi, Owen. How are you today?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I wanted to call in and bring up kind of a controversial subject, because if you can't call in to InfoWars and say something controversial, well, you can't call in anywhere and say anything.
Well, you know I love it, so go ahead.
I know a while back they had an issue with transgender people being in the military. Well, I had an issue with women being in the military, and I've served. I don't think they should do it.
Now, do you want to lay out your reasons for this?
Yes.
Do you mean MOS, Mary? Do you mean like certain positions in the military, or just in general?
Well, I mean in general. Okay, honestly, any American citizen who can sign a contract should have the option to serve. I'm not saying it should be taken away. I just don't think that they should. It's war. It's no place for women. Even the jobs that they can do, I think are.
Well, it really is a new phenomenon, really, Mary. It is a new phenomenon of women being on the front lines. I mean, you look at some of the women that go through the Israeli army. I mean, they're tough as nails. But also you look at, I mean, the history of war. I mean, you can even go back. I mean, it was a whole thing. You know, the women were at home helping the men by building the bullets, you know, getting the scrap metal put together. So women have always served a role. I think what you're saying, are you aiming more towards combat stuff, or are you just saying in general?
I honestly, I thought about it for a while I was on hold. I think just in general, because like when I was in the Navy, I was the aircraft mechanic and I felt so out of place. I don't think that anybody I worked with would say I did a bad job, but I don't think I should have been there. I'm proud to have served. Don't get me wrong. And then when I got out, I became a nurse. And even that's, you know, that's a lady thing, right? Ladies can be nurses. But honestly, the best nurses, even in private care, are men. So it's just kind of, I don't think they can be there, or they should really be there.
Now, you are basically, you are the antithesis of the progressive left right now.
Well, I don't think that they should be there. No, I'm not saying, I'm definitely not a feminist. Ugh. I just don't think that, and like I said, I think that any woman that wants to do it and she's capable of signing a contract, go for it. I just think she should really think about it. And there are huge distractions.
Well, that is one interesting thing. I want to get Ben's take on this, but I'll kind of just give an example for me. Well, no, let's get Ben's take on it. I just think that's a good point. I don't need to put the example, but go ahead, Ben.
Well, I look at it as being in a combat zone, I don't think a woman is a distraction. In my personal experience, I mean, we've had mechanics as well as EOD women come out with us on mission across the wire into enemy lines. They always were excellent soldiers. They never caused an issue of any way, shape, or form from my personal experience. I think that if you I have certain standards of it. I think that whatever MOS you decide to join in the military, whether you're a man or woman, as long as you complete all the criteria to meet that job, I think you have the right to do it. As far as women not being in there or being a distraction or being weaker than men or something like that, I've seen full-grown men crumble, getting pinned down for over a half an hour by enemy fire and turn into a puddle of slop. I don't think it's a gender thing. I think it's a mental thing. And I think it just depends on who's on that line with you. So,
and I'll just throw a couple more anecdotes in here. Thank you so much, Mary, for the call. The one distraction, I mean, you did have a bunch of stories with issues of like pornography and sex tapes and stuff with men and women in the military. So I'm not sure if that's what Mary meant. And then, as far as, the ability is concerned, yeah, I would agree with you, Ben, and I would just say the only concern I would have is what we're seeing sometimes now with the SEAL training and with certain Marine trainings where they're actually bringing down the prerequisites to get in so that women can make it. That would be my only fear there. Thank you for the call,
that's
Mary.
That's my point, too. I hate that. I don't think that's the right thing. I think if you want to do that, it's like saying, hey, do you want to be a Major League Baseball player? Well, you have to hit 300. If you can't hit 300, you can't be a Major League Baseball player.
Yeah, but not anymore, though. I mean, you can just claim you're anymore. A woman or a man. I mean, I could be a woman tomorrow and compete in the U.S. Olympics as a woman. You know, I mean, I have thought about it. You know, I have thought about it. All right.
I think you do phenomenal.
I'm not shaving my beard either. I'm a bearded lady. All right, let's take one more call here with Ben before he signs off. And then Chris Nyweem is going to be joining me for the last two segments to talk about a big issue we've been fighting. Let's go to Corey, Marine calling in from California. Go ahead, Corey.
Hey, Owen, it's nice to talk to you again. I called you probably about a week ago when Notre Dame was on fire, and I told you about how we were using the Alexa Pure Breeze for my baby and his allergies. I got dumped on that because you dropped one of my favorite words ever, and I think it might have dumped me on the call. But I did want to say that I was really sad that day because I won't be able to take my baby to go see Notre Dame in its former glory, and now we'll have to settle for these poor architects. But I wanted to call today because I've been getting around the censors on Facebook and YouTube. I have a 30-day ban on Facebook right now, currently active. But what I do is I take InfoWars on my phone on the app, and I plug it into the auxiliary port in my work van. I open up the doors and I crank the volume like I did the other day at YouTube Space in Los Angeles. Needless to say, I got some pretty uncomfortable looks. People were a little uncomfortable to hear Alex Jones blaring out of my speakers.
But, dude, that's,
my van,
Corey, that, see, I love this because this is literally the front lines of the Infowar. I remember I was walking around during the RNC in 2016, and I had my big bullhorn, and I plugged into the auxiliary a Trump speech, and then I plugged in the Alex Jones show. So, yeah, I mean, that's one. Hop on a bike with a loudspeaker. Open up your car doors and play it. And so it's pretty fun, too, I bet.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I especially love seeing the people that, you know, they'll look over and they'll know who it is. They'll give you that look like, oh, I better not get near this guy because he might be crazy. Or, you know, they think you're some wild, wily conspiracy theorist. And other
I've actually decided that leftists and liberals, they think we're all like Yosemite Sam. Like running around, guns drawn, like flopping around with crazy facial hair, shooting guns in the air, shooting guns on the ground, hunting everything like a wild bandit or something. That's literally what I think they think conservatives in America are. Corey, sorry to cut you short, but we got to go to a break. Ben, thank you so much for joining us today. Just before you go, final words for our audience, anything you want to mention?
Please, if you can, go to stillhearmovie.com and check out our stuff there. Check out our Indiegogo page for funding. We are still looking for donations to raise as much funds as we can to make the movie. Check out Frontline Pro on your Facebook page. Give us a like. Let us know what you think. And then on top of that, I'd like to just pitch right now, if it's at all possible, I would absolutely love to see Alex Jones take on an ecosexual in a debate in any way, shape, or form on this channel.
All right. We'll put out a clarion call. And if you guys ever need a guest ref for Frontline Wrestling, I'm your man.
There's cucks.
You're fucking white male.
And then there's the cuck slayer. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Well, we're about to be joined by our guest Beto here live on air. And so Beto Nyweem is joining us here in just a minute, but I wanted to go to Beto O'Rourke first. Just a real quick clip from Beto Bovine O'Rourke here. He just wants to let you know where he stands on baby murder.
So when I connect the fact that family planning clinics, Planned Parenthood to be specific, in Texas, is saving the lives of our fellow women, and it's a life and death.
Saving lives! Oh, abortion is now saving lives, according to Beto. Unbelievable, that guy. But, of course, he's not going to win. He never wanted to win. He's going to run away with $100 million. So, that's Beto O'Rourke. Beto Nyweem, formerly Chris Nyweem. I'm not sure if he's had his name changed officially yet, but Beto Nyweem, one of our great veteran guests who always comes on with us, is joining me. So, actually, though, to get real, we just saw this battle that we've been waging here against the puppy mills, and we've just saw Laura Trump revamp this. I mean, Chris, why is this a thing? Why are they still doing these to innocent puppies, and how is it that it doesn't get more attention? It's like, why? Shut this down.
I think it's just the scientists deep inside the federal government that just want to continue to get paid to do this kind of crazy stuff. I mean, President Trump was able to shut this down. We got legislation through, but this is literally sort of like the final glow of the deep state candle at VA research. I mean, they're just absolutely ridiculous. So let's start positive. We've shut down over 15 sites. I mean, now we're looking at there's only two more sites left. We're almost there. We've still got Cleveland, and we've still got Richmond, Virginia, where this crazy stuff is going on. But I think having Lara Trump stepping in on this is by the way, my name, I changed it from Beto Nyweem. I'm back to Chris. I sobered up the next morning after I made that name change, and I realized we can only have three Betos: Beto O'Rourke, Beto Schroyer. We can't have a third. So I did change my name.
No, I have to admit, that's good because Beto O'Schroyer actually retired too. Of course, it was after. But you know, the one thing you realize is once you go under the Beto moniker, the urge to start feeding people human feces and run children over in cars starts to creep up. And so you don't want to be Beto anymore.
But here's the good news, though. I think that we need to take Beto O'Rourke to InfoWars.com, and he needs every single supplement, like, all at the same exact time. It's probably his own hope, because we've got to get him completely cleansed, because he is just pretty much on the wrong side
of
any issue.
Wait, you think Beto O'Rourke needs the Cuck cleanse from InfoWarsStore.com?
I think Beto O'Rourke needs an intravenous line of Brain Force. Frankly, I think we need a new drug for him.
An IV of Brain Force.
Double IV. It's going to be like Pulp Fiction, you know, like with the boom. We need to give him something very serious, very soon.
Hit him in the chest with it. A syringe of Turbo Force and the Cuck cleanse to Beto O'Rourke's chest. Hey, but you know, but to get serious again for a second, and to just kind of put a cap on the puppy mill issue, Laura Trump is the one who seems to be leading this cause now. And maybe you're right, because I was going to say, anybody who wants to continue this puppy testing, this testing that they do on innocent puppies, to me is a total cuck. But maybe that's what it is. Maybe these people just realize that they're about to lose their job.
I think for the Warriors, largely because of the engagement of InfoWars.
I almost don't even want to stop him from talking, because it's like incredible what just happened. Talk again.
I think that am I in the like Beto universe,
dude? Like, I don't know what just happened, but your voice was just robotic, and now it's not. Was that not the weird? What was that? We've never had that happen before. I'm sorry, that was just strange. Okay.
Am I back to normal?
I guess, unless you're actually a robot.
I am not a robot. I think the best thing for the viewers to do is go online to the support the Puppers Act. I mean, that's really going to shut this down for good at puppersact.com. You know, there's two more facilities, but I think thanks to Larry Trump, President Trump, and InfoWars, we've almost got this done. So the key is really to go to puppersact.com. You know, White Coat Waste Project was able to discover all this fraud before. And this isn't like just an animal rights thing. I mean, this is, you know, preserving puppies. This is preserving federal tax money and really giving veterans better health care. I mean, by wasting all this money here, it's been able to result in worse quality health care for veterans when they actually go to the VA. So this is something that I think we're almost there, but goodness, I mean, call your member of Congress, tell them to support the Puppers Act, and go to puppersact.com now and get involved, and let's shut this crazy far-left Obama dog torture nonsense down for good.
Yeah, it'd be nice to claim that victory and have that feather in our cap, along with some other things, you know, like abortion and stuff. But, you know, let's get into some other things while I got you here. What do you make of this coming out of North Korea? So to me, there's a lot going on here, Chris, and I know we didn't discuss this previously, but you can go ahead and just tell me whatever you think about this. We had the announcement, Kim Jong-un was meeting with Putin. This was on the heels of Kim Jong-un kind of starting to sour, if you will, at least publicly, it looked like the relation with Trump. I think that's the Chinese pulling his leash, his collar, if you will. Then North Korea demands $2 million for Otto Warmbier's medical care. Anybody who thought that was a real request is delusional. That was just them basically giving the U.S. the middle finger. That's how I took it. And now it looks like North Korea is kind of warning Trump of an increase of tension because they didn't like the deal or something. And this happens right after the meeting with Putin. But Trump is still thanking Putin, saying it's actually improving. I mean, to me, this looks like China is meddling, trying to keep Russia from allying with the U.S., obviously trying to keep North Korea from reaching a peace deal with the U.S. But to me, I mean, this just makes me so angry at the Democrats. I wish we had a strong relationship with Russia. I wish they weren't engaging in all of this subtle Cold War nonsense with Russia. I'd love to see Russia as an ally, because now they're pushing Russia right into the Chinese hands.
Well, I think you got this right, the first statement there, which is this is more of just an optic, right? So you had this, they had this summit. It's sort of, you know, President, I mean, what Putin is trying to do is create a more image of relevance than is there, right? So he's trying to look like, I'm coaching North Korea back into being this sort of fiery powerhouse and stoking this fear that, you know, they need some sort of security assurance in the region. But the problem is twofold. One, that whole framework is fictional. I mean, North Korea's only real threat is its threat to itself. And obviously their people don't have access to real media or real information. So it's sort of a phony proposition that they need more security. They don't. What they do want is they want those sanctions relieved. And so President Trump is smarter than all these other negotiators we've had in sense that he's not going to give them anything until we get everything we want. And so we're in a position of strength. And I think the real important thing here, the second point, is a third summit for us to make something happen. But I think actually our relationship with Russia's improved a little bit. They're not taking over areas of the region over there, walking all over our president the way that he did our college professor last president. Now we're being taken more seriously. So I think this is actually, you nailed it on the head, Owen, that it's just optics right now. You know, I don't think there's anything we need to be worried about. I think we should actually be encouraged to the way things are going. And I think that, you know, Kim Jong-un, you know, where President Trump has been smart here, we've got to let him save just a little glow of face here when we get these nuclear stuff disbanded, the weapons stop ceasing, and then maybe we'll think about giving him a little bit of economic prosperity on the back end once he's done the right thing. But we're not like these clumsy Democrats that want to just give away all of our freedom every time something happens in the world or on the global stage. We're not going to be doing that.
All right, well, we're going to talk more with Chris Nyweem on the other side. I got to play a couple videos with Chris as well, but it's the final segment. And I'll tell you what, Chris, President Trump is sending out some major signals right now. We'll respond to this on the other side. Final segment of the War Room, and I need to use all 10 minutes I have here, so I need to be very effective. So first, Joe Biden has just released a new campaign video. Check it out.
Charlottesville, Virginia is home to the author of one of the great documents in human history. We know it by heart. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. We've heard it so often, it's almost a cliche, but it's who we are. We haven't always lived up to these ideals. Jefferson himself didn't, but we have never before walked away from them. I believe history will look back on 4 years of this president and all he embraces as an aberrant moment in time. But if we give Donald Trump 8 years in the White House, he will forever and fundamentally alter the character of this nation, who we are. And I cannot stand by and watch that happen. The core values of this nation, our standing in the world, our very democracy, everything that has made America, America is at stake. That's why today I'm announcing my candidacy for President of the United States. Folks, America is an idea. An idea that's stronger than any army, bigger than any ocean, more powerful than any dictator or tyrant.
You sick freak. Somebody should have knocked your teeth out years ago.
It guarantees that everyone is treated with dignity and gives hate no safe harbor. It instills in every person in this country the belief that no matter where you start in life, there's nothing you can't achieve if you work at it.
You know, that's what we believe. Let me tell you something here.
And above all else, that's what's at stake in this.
Rob Dew has just tweeted that video out, folks. You can go watch the full video on Rob Dew's Twitter or at Infowars.com. And actually, Alex Jones is going to do a special report on Joe Biden with some new details emerging. Tomorrow, he's going to be live. So Alex Jones will be live tomorrow. But, you know, look, I didn't mean to take this to it. But, you know, let me just say, if you were anywhere in public and you saw a man groping children like that, you would beat their ass. Joe, go ahead and print this. You know what? Joe Biden deserves to have his ass kicked. That child fondling freak show deserves to have his ass kicked. That's what you deserve, Joe. Somebody should have socked you right in the face when you were groping girls, when you were groping 5-year-old girls, rubbing your hands on young prepubescent girls. You are a sick freak, Joe. Someone should have knocked your teeth out. Now, let's go to someone who actually won a presidential election in Donald Trump. And I want to get Chris's reaction to this. Listen to some of the stuff that Trump said during his NRA speech today. This is powerful stuff.
Because no matter how many centuries go by, no matter how much the world changes, the central drama of human history remains the same. On one side are those who seek power, control, and domination. And on the other side are patriots like those in this hall who stand upright and plant their feet in eternal defense of our liberty. And with God as our witness, we swear today that we will defend our rights, we will safeguard our freedoms, we will uphold our heritage, we will protect our Constitution, and we will make America stronger, prouder, safer, and greater than ever, ever, ever before. Under my administration, we will never surrender American sovereignty to anyone. We will never allow foreign bureaucrats to trample on your Second Amendment freedom. And that is why my administration will never ratify the UN Arms Trade Treaty. I hope you're happy.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so President Trump at the NRA convention today, he was hammering the deep state. He was hammering these bad trade deals. And look, here's where I stand, because President Trump said something that I so vehemently disagree with today. I got to call him out. Trump said on the measles vaccine, they have to get the shot. So now Trump is totally reversing on that, just like he's reversing on Julian Assange. And, you know, I really hope, not to wear out the cliche, but I really hope this is like 3D, 4D chess or whatever, and he's just pandering by saying this, and he doesn't actually mean it. I really hope that he stands up and does the right thing with Assange. I hope he does not force medical tyranny in this country, but boy, that's bad stuff. But then he continues to signal he's going after the deep state. He's going after the criminals. He's going to do something to fix all these bad trade deals. I mean, the economy's booming so much. The Fed is trying to destroy the economy Trump's building, and he's even beating that. So they're rigging the economy to defeat Trump, and the economy's still beating that. They rigged the economy to bolster Obama, and he couldn't even fix it with them rigging it. But, Chris, let me just ask you here. I support President Trump. I don't regret voting for him. I hope he continues on this mission. But, you know, I start to see him go sideways on some things like vaccines and Assange, and I kind of get a little, hesitant on issues. But then you see him continue to signal he's going to do something about the censorship. He's going to do something about the deep state. But, I mean, at what point do we as voters say, you know, President, you keep signaling this, but these people are continuing to strangle us. I mean, we need action here.
Well, I think that we don't know what it's like being president at this era in the term where there's all these like little pressures going on. I mean, I think some of that is just literally just some of the optics, just trying to put that on the shelf for a minute and just kind of keep moving forward with bigger items. But I think he comes through on things. I think he's just got a lot of, you know, he does have bad advisors. He's reading tons and tons of speeches. I mean, I think sometimes that is literally just sort of the gray matter that comes with being a president at this era. So I have hope he's going to come back around on that. And I also want to just make one point, not just Biden. My issue with Biden is the Biden enablers. And frankly, if you have your child being touched in that way and you're standing there, you are a very, very ineffective person, citizen, and worse. Some of these folks are in the Senate. And another thing, like you mentioned, Owen, that I think is concerning is how these Democrats, it's like they're all about giving our freedom away. And, you know, you hear about people, oh, you know, we really wish we had people with the courage of this prime minister, you know, in New Zealand and stuff. And it's like, if you want to give our freedom away because of a statistically insignificant incident or because of an incident that was completely caused by something else, you are a complete idiot. And so I think that's why this, you know, these elections, it's getting weird. You know, it's getting more and more far left. And it's almost like we're so far apart now. It's like we're going to start realigning political parties and what they stand for. So it's a really interesting time. But, you know, I think you're right to really hold the line and not waver on things like free speech, not waver on things like protecting life, not waver on things like we don't want these vaccines. I mean, we can't trust a lot of things these governments do. I mean, you still see these mad scientists that want to kill puppies so they can get a $100,000 bonus. It's crazy. But I think President Trump's still on the right track. I think we need to stick with him. And if anything, we've got the ability to keep him focused and keep him out of that gray matter and that fuzz of, you know, kind of being in a midterm.
There is no doubt he is listening. I mean, he gives Fox all the love and he listens to Fox the most, but he does hear what his other alternative, you know, less televised supporters, I should say, are saying and thinking. Chris, we got just 90 seconds left. I want to do kind of a news blitz with you. Oh, man, I don't know where to go. Bob Woodward is about to write a new book trying to destroy Trump's presidency, so that'll be another miserable failure. Kansas Supreme Court says it's now constitutional. You have a constitutional right to abortion. I'm not sure what's in the water in Kansas, but apparently it gets you really drunk. The feds are dropping child porn cases instead of revealing info on their surveillance systems. You know, I've been covering this for a while. They're busting all these people disseminating child porn, but then they can't actually bust them because the way they're doing it is technically considered illegal. But you know what they're doing to Trump with the FISA warrants and everything, that's perfectly fine. But try to stop pedophiles, you know, apparently that's a problem. But you know what? Let me just do this one because we'll end it on a light note. You know, the NFL draft was last night. I don't know if you're a football fan or a sports fan or not. I came up in sports media. I'm not as much of a fan anymore, but I still kind of like to get away from everything and just zone out. But, you know, it amazes me. I got a story right here. Clemson's football coach, Dabo Sweeney, just landed a nearly $100 million contract. This is a college football coach. I mean, you want to know why college education sucks? The highest paid people are all the coaches and the athletic people. And then the athletes work for free. It's a total crime. But, you know, this NFL draft thing is crazy to me, Chris. I mean, you have millions of people tuning in, billions of dollars the NFL draft is raking in now. Half of these players are never even going to see any time on the field. I mean, this obsession is wacko to me.
It is. And I mean, just look at how much coverage sports gets and look at how much coverage drama gets and these phony actors like Jesse Smollett, who should probably be hit with a water hose in terms of what he's done. And yet, you know, we've got war. We've got all kinds of very serious issues around the globe. We got
literally a civil war happening. The southern border's wide open. Guns, drugs, disease all coming in. Chris Nyweem, Beto Nyweem. Thank you so much, as always, Chris. You stay classy, Info Warriors. Okay.